Welcome to the Crew 3 podcast. Rose Rugby News, as always, are my co-hosts Chris and Ricky. Do you want to say hello?
Hey.
What up?
It's going good. How was your Super Bowl experience, everyone?
I had a good Super Bowl experience.
Oh, you were having fun. Did not come to my party, even after being invited. And so I feel a little disrespected, you know? And sure. I'm going to leave it there. You guys talk about yours.
I only saw the good parts of the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't finish my event until halftime.
Oh,
we used halftime
How do we feel at the halftime show?
Didn't see it.
Oh no,
it's okay. I can look that up on YouTube easily.
It was really good. So there's a big argument right now of who was better, this one or Snoop and Dre. And while I will say Snoop and Dre was very good, they didn't perform like Usher did. But also, I'm really questioning what Luda's shoes were. I was the first person Luda in my
view. Looks like Sora.
He did. We're watching it, and I just go, what is Luda? What are those, Luda? Everyone's like, what are you talking about? And then it, like, because he just runs across the screen. I'm like, hold on. Wait till you see them. Luda got his weasel stomping shoes on that time.
I made it to a restaurant.
Weasel stomping day. Is a throwback. That is
a throwback. I kids heard it every week. That one.
That's for Dave and Dave alone.
While living in Lubbock, Texas.
That's for Dave and Dave alone.
But I sat down in my booth. They had the Super Bowl on.
The Nickelodeon stream, hopefully. I was very upset that I got Paramount Plus and I could not watch the Nickelodeon broadcast.
I turned around just in time to see the blocked extra point and then watched thoroughly from there.
Nice. It was
the best Super Bowl I'd ever seen.
Once again, this goes to show in every situation, make sure you understand the rules of the game you are playing.
That was my favorite conversation is like, Shanahan looks like an idiot now because his players were like, we didn't even know what the rules were.
Yeah.
And he put out a statement today that was like, well, I told my assistant coaches, but it was pretty unlikely. And Brock Purdy had to have his coaches back where he was like, Brock Purdy was like, well, I knew the rules. I knew what was going on. They did explain it to us. But
who was it for the Niners that was like, I didn't know the rules until I saw it on the Jumbotron above me.
Yeah. Yeah. But the Chiefs players were like, we sat down and had a 3-hour Zoom meeting on it. A curated PowerPoint presentation. It was narrated by Morgan Freeman. Like Casey, they were like,
we planned this in summer camp,
right? Yeah, we've been talked about it in camp. We were so prepared, and it was just like, whoo, that is not a good look, you know. You versus the guy they tell you not to worry about. Man,
I tell you what, I don't care about the Niners, but it sure was heartbreaking every time we cut to the side of the field during the Chiefs possession. Just everyone just about to cry.
I think the Super Bowl somehow gave me, more than any other Super Bowl, definitely gave me the best sad men covered in confetti images. Yeah. Like more than any other Super Bowl.
They kept cutting to them.
They did. And you could tell how much they hadn't moved because they were just
piled because, in
confetti. Oh, man.
Oh, shoot. I forgot to get the best sound clip of the whole Super Bowl for the podcast today.
Oh, yeah.
It's just Andy Reid shouting, how about that D?
I think the 49ers did it to themselves.
Yeah.
They played really bad defense in that back half. And I don't know why you're like deep six covering and getting screened every play. Like, what are you guys doing?
Yeah.
Let your linebackers play linebacker.
All right. Well, that's enough Super Bowl talk. That's enough sports talk. Let's get into Magic the Gathering. And hey, it looks like Wizards are the good money days over? Not really. We're still making lots of profit, but mostly on the back of Baldur's Gate this last year. Of course, we just had their last earnings announcement this year. The big thing from that being that, hey, guess what? Hope you like big tentpole Premier Universe Beyond set releases because you're getting two of them every year starting next year.
Yeah, the infinite money pile ran out, and now they're not going to know what to do because we're about to see what happens, what every corporation is doing, where it's like, well, infinite growth happens infinitely. And then you get to, you know, year two of your burn every single bridge you possibly have with your customers in order for short-term growth, and let's see where that goes. And turns out there's no more bridges, so you're kind of stuck on your island where you're at, where revenue's decreasing, and we'll have to see what happens, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, Lord of the Rings made the most money of any set, right? So we'll just do it twice a year and make four times the money.
you know what, next year we've got Final Fantasy and Marvel.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then they need to get that Marvel one out quick, because that's going to be the only way they can, I think, potentially outdo
Lord of the Rings. Just get ready. I mean, they announced at the end of this last – at the very end of the weekly stream this week that at Chicago, they're going to do first looks at not just Outlaws of Thunder Junction, not just more looks at Fallout, but there's also going to be looks at Assassin's Creed and Bloomborough. So we're going to get a look at the standard set that's coming out after the next standard set, before we even have this current standard, the new standard set.
My cowboy time.
Ricky, cowboy time is coming, but you also get to learn about Redwall set at the same time.
Yeah, I'm going to get 1 week of cowboy time, and then it's like, yo, we've got 37 more commander decks coming out.
Yeah. And then, of course, we got to talk and hear about, hey, so, you know, I was so confusing to have different booster packs on the shelf. Well, we got rid of the booster packs on the shelf, only to bring out more booster packs on the shelf. So we got a taste of what the Beyond booster is going to be for Assassin's Creed, which, of course, is going to be our direct-to-modern consumption Universes Beyond set.
We tried bed boosters.
Yeah, right?
We tried bath boosters. And now we're to the Beyond boosters, okay? Yeah.
We want that Adam Sandler cross-promotion.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do.
So these are going to be, of course, how we release the
Assassin's Creed
cards. Yeah, so these are going to be smaller boosters, very akin to the Epilogue boosters, which is another type of booster, which, hey, Ricky, you'll be glad to know, they learned their lesson. People didn't like the Aftermath set, so we got rid of the Aftermath set that was going to be for Thunder Junction and just put those cards in the main set.
Thank God. There was such a good, like, if you just did what actual Hearthstone, like, the thing is, Magic won't, like, they want to, like, copy Hearthstone's homework. Uh-huh. They're like, okay, I'm gonna do all the math. I'll copy all that, right? But Hearthstone said 7. I'm going to say 26, because that's a bigger number. Uh-huh. And just, like, mess it up at the end. Like, if you're going to copy Hearthstone, copy the good parts of Hearthstone. Copy the parts where they're like, yeah, we have a second expansion after the first one, and we just mix those cards into the booster packs. Like, that would have been fine. Like, if all the Aftermath cards just, like, appeared in, like, instead of the Legend card, right?
Sure, yeah.
Like, what, there were 50 Legends, right? And how many cards?
That's what we thought it was going to be, right?
Right, just replace that slot with your Aftermath slot, and then you release a second booster box called March of Machine Aftermath. You can still open Atali's, Fairy Masterminds, Shieldred's, and you also get a cool Aftermath slot.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's what we thought was going to happen. But, you know, I also, listening to them, I'm just like, we didn't think there were going to be that many duplication issues. There was 20 cards in the set, and with an 8-card pack, how are you not going to get duplicates?
I'm getting duplicates in my drafts already on Arena.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw that. Anyway, so Beyond Boosters, you're going to have 1 to 3 non-foil uncommons, one non-foil land or scene card, a non-foil rare / mythic or traditional foil, and then a booster fun card, making up your 7 slots. And of course, the last one is a token / add. But yeah, so hey, new booster types.
When do we get like scratch-off cards in the
packs? Oh, the next unset, right?
There's no more unsets. They have said that Unfinity did so bad, they're like never doing another unset.
Well, it's going to be the next type of the set that is going to be the next, that kind of set, right? Like,
I think we're like getting close to ripped cards.
Yeah.
We got to build hype. We did less serialized. We did more serialized. We're doing weird hidden cards, hidden cards, unannounced different color cards.
Yeah. So we're going to get our box topper big jumbo card.
Yeah,
that we
can
use or rip it open for the wooden stained glass.
Right.
Cal Ripken.
Right, right. And you're going to have to bring a separate side deck of cards in order to play the game, so that way you can simulate a gacha game in the middle of your game of Magic the Gathering. In order to incorporate HoloLive, coming to Magic the Gathering Universes Beyond.
Ooh. Actually, Magic's going to get that V Shoujo sponsorship. Iron Mouse coming to a Magic the Gathering table near you.
I will actually be so mad if they announce a Magic One Piece set before I finish mine. I will be unbelievably livid. I will file lawsuits.
but Ricky, the American Dragon Jake Long Secret Lair, though.
I want it. They're not giving it to me. They're going to give me everything else. We're going to get a My Little Pony set of Magic the Gathering cards direct to Modern.
Oh,
Rainbow Dash is going to be Ragavan, but with Dash pay to life.
Yeah.
The wildest thing an opponent said to me during the RC about
their
prediction for Modern Horizons 3. And when I heard it, I was like, that's the stupidest thing. And I was like, oh no, I think you're right. Ready?
Yeah.
Evoke Sagas with Read Ahead.
Oh. Oh no.
Imagine three different abilities. Now, when your opponent is completely tapped out, they could have Force of Negation, Subtlety, or three different effects on the blue saga.
Oh no. Oh no. I mean, okay, so I was thinking earlier today, because I saw a Reddit thread that was just someone being like, do you think this card could be from the Haunted Mansion set, right? It was a Future Sight card, right? It was one of the Future Shifted ones.
Right.
And it was Patrician's Scorn. Do you think that mechanic would be a way to fix, like, Evoke-style
type? I've already cast a white card, so I get to cast this for free.
Yeah, do you think that's a better way of doing the, like, pitching a card of, like, X or Y color?
No, because it combos with pitching a card of X or Y color.
Oh, true. You're right.
In Solitude, because Patrician Scorn's an instant. I've played with it before.
Yeah.
So now you can Solitude and then immediately Patrician Scorn right after.
True. You're right.
Because we've already cast a white spell.
Oh, man. So many free spells.
I just want one blue Phyrexian instant counter target spell. If no mana was spent to cast it.
Yeah.
I think that would be cool. But we did go to the RC. We went to Denver.
Yeah, I would say, talk about the RC. Which, before we get into your time in Denver, I want to talk about, I loved Canada being like, look at Canada's biggest non-GP event with over 480 players. Meanwhile, they were like, good luck not being trampled to death on the way to the pairings board in Denver.
Yeah, snooze. GP Denver beat GP Atlanta by 15 players. It was at the same. We were not in Denver. I just want to point out that we were not in Denver.
You like Fort Collins?
We were in Aurora.
Oh yeah.
And at that same convention center, did you go to the GP Denver's when we were?
Like, no, but I know what convention you're talking about.
Yeah. It's that same one. They've got that same stupid waterfall in the lobby.
And did you go see the death? While you're in Denver, did you go to the death mural?
They've covered all that up.
Cowards.
But Blucifer
remains.
The Blucifer's still there.
Yeah.
And Blucifer's eyes are still glowing bright, evil red. So we made sure to greet Blucifer on our arrival.
Uh-huh.
Good tidings, you know. But the event was run well.
I would say, how was it without it being like true DreamHack, right?
Like without the score, like the scoreboard people, like the people actually running the event did very well.
Mm-hmm.
And the judges who were there did very good. However, there aren't enough judges.
Sure.
Not by a long shot. And there were a lot of like really loud yellings of judge because they've already yelled two or three times. And a lot of like, very long time extensions because we had to wait like 3 to 4 minutes to get a judge to appear.
Yeah.
Because they were all somewhere else, like doing their job. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not like lazy judges. They were the most utilized judges ever.
Yeah.
And like, I had to call a judge a few times and like, definitely it was a decent wait. I felt bad because like I called a judge and I didn't realize there was one behind me and we waited like another 2 minutes and I yelled it again. And like the judge behind me is just like, I'm right here. I'm just taking another call. And I'm like, I'm sorry. But like, we got to pay our judges and we got to get more of them out there.
Yeah.
I don't know because of course I'm not a judge. I didn't apply, but if like judges were turned away for mm-hmm. like staff, that would look kind of bad because like y'all didn't have enough for 1300 players plus all the wild side events that were happening.
Yeah, they had like 10 cases like that too going on, right?
Two 10Ks and two 5Ks also happening.
Sure.
I was not confident in my ability to play Modern.
To play Rhinos?
Rhinos is, and I will stick with it, Rhinos, base Rhinos, has almost no agency points.
Mm-hmm.
You just jam.
Sure.
And hope your opponent, who's also on Rhinos, because Rhinos is the most played deck, doesn't just have the stones. And if they do, you pack it up. And if they don't, well, then you win. Great gameplay. There is more gameplay to Modern. There were some decks that were just like there to beat Rhinos, like playing Reprieve.
Sure. And
playing like main deck Chalice.
Oh.
That's always an exciting format.
Yeah.
Leyline of the Guild Pact, I said, is a do nothing card.
But not in Modern.
In Pioneer, it is.
Yeah.
Do not play it. In Modern, it combos with, surprise, surprise, a Modern Horizons 2 card that allows it to be cast for 2 mana to get a 5/5 flying, first strike, vigilance, trample, hexproof, lifelink creature.
Oh.
And any other creatures you have will have all of those abilities except for flying.
And all your fetch lands tap for mana.
Do not tap your fetch lands for mana. That is how you lose the game. So I watched people to my left and right lose Kavus because somebody somebody bounced the ley line and they cast their Kavu off of 2 fetch lands without fetching them. I watched people go for Tribal Flames for lethal and get their Leyline Odawarad, and then they had no basic land types because they only had fetch lands.
Oh, no.
I watched the judge call where the player was like, well, clearly I had 5 when I cast it. And it's just like, that's rough. You have 0 now.
You don't have any now.
Just fetch your lands, please. Get a basic. The basic will also be 5 colors. Like, please don't do this. And it turns out that weird degenerate strategy mixed with the degenerate strategy of Rhinos was the top deck, I believe, had the highest win percentage.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it won. I think Living End won.
I have no idea.
But the finals was like kind of controversial.
Okay.
Supposedly spells were cast with no green mana in play.
Oh,
I don't know. I wasn't there watching. The top 8 was happening while I was doing my top 8 in the standard 5K because I scrubbed out at 2 and 4.
Yeah,
but that's what I deserve for only testing against Yawgmoth, not downloading MTGO to test, and just saying, well, if we have it, we have it.
Yeah,
but the vibe was that even the Modern diehards at the event were like, yeah, Modern kind of blows right now.
Oh, no.
But, you know, when people are main decking Chalice of the Void to try to beat the Cascade decks and still lose to them, you know?
Yeah.
It's a little rough.
Yeah.
But it was a lot of fun. We played the standard 5K.
Okay, how'd that go?
I had to borrow a deck because I thought that the sealed 10K was on Sunday.
Oh, that was on Saturday, right?
That was on Saturday. I considered dropping the main event to play it.
Yeah.
Probably should have, but we're gonna make a go at it, right?
Uh-huh.
It was a lot of fun though. We played standard, we played mono red.
Oh.
But like a build where we're kind of like turning into a mid-range game. We're main decking our Urabrass Forges.
Yeah, I was looking at your list because somebody got a deck list posted because they're a big boy. Because
I was the bottom of the X1s going into the last round and could not draw in. So I got to be a very high seed. The standard event was very fun. It was filled with lots and lots of mid-range and domain players that told me that they never lose to mono-red on Arena.
Ah, well, this is an Arena, kids.
Right. Not all of them were that salty, but there were a couple of very salty domain players.
Did you get to do the reverse of what happened to you with the Hunter Burton, where you were like, I play on Arena all the time, and I never lose this matchup. And then some guy's like, "Well, I got these cards here. You got to be the bad guy this time, huh? You got to be like, well, listen up here, kid."
Yeah, that's what happened to me. Played against people that were just like, I beat somebody, and it was very, very close. Who was playing like black white life gain mid range, where their main win cons were Shieldred, Wandering Emperor, and the castle.
That just sounds like a fun way to play Magic.
And they resolved through three knockout blows, two Shieldreds, and two Wandering Emperors over the course of the game, resulting in me going to one life.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, they were at five life, and I, end of turn, play with fire, scry, lightning strikes on top.
Hey!
But they could not answer the Urabrask's Forge. I got an Urabrask's Forge up to like an 8/8.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's cheating, Ricky. I believe it's an X1.
You're correct, actually. I always said it was an X1 because it was important.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because many opponents tried to destroy evil my Forge token. And that does not work.
Yeah.
But a first striker will stop me dead. But luckily those don't happen. So we went in at fifth place to the top 16 match. And I lost to Convoke.
Oh.
They were tight games. My opponent played very well. And I came up a draw step short.
Sure.
So it was rough. They were deadly terrified of Monstrous Rage.
Yeah. People should be. That card's very good.
That's actually the most I played in my deck two Phoenix Chick and two Monstrous Rage. And I sided them out in almost literally every match I played, except for the finals. I left them in. And if I ever played a Monstrous Rage in game one, my opponents were like thinking about Monstrous Rage for all the rest of the games.
Yeah.
Even though I had decided it out, and they were just like, they're like, exactly what does Monstrous Rage do? Like I swing with a bunch of dudes and they're just like, can you remind me what that pump spell that makes a roll does? And I was like, sure. +2/+0 and a monster roll. Here's the monster.
What does the monster roll do?
Yeah, +1/+1 and trample. And then they're like doing more math, and I'm just sitting there with just like, ha 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 ha. We also side out the Phoenix Chicks a lot because of temporary lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
Deck's very good. Probably going to run it back this weekend. All the Houston players did amazing.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I was going to briefly mention that. A bunch of the Houston crew did great.
They all put in the time. They all put in the work. They very clearly were ready.
Yeah.
I think we saw one of them made top 8. There's two teams, I think, in Houston, but they both know each other.
Yes.
It's like the Adventure Begins people.
Yeah.
The other people in the blue jerseys.
Is Jacob the guy who crushes me with Karuga every time I play him? Because I checked Twitter. And he was possibly. Like, oh, I play Krug. And I was like, is that the guy?
That is, yeah.
That's the guy. Okay.
But they put the blue jersey people, and I'm so sorry, I don't know what the name of the team, right?
I forget what
story in top 8.
Yeah, you're thinking of, I forget what story that is, but yeah. And the Adventure Begins crew.
The Adventure Begins crew had Gabe.
Yeah, Gabe, who's back on the PT now, so big shout to Gabe.
And
Chris, who we played a bunch of with, won the 10K and then won the sealed 10K and then top 8 at a 5K.
Right. I think they already had their invite because they won the 10K.
Yeah.
So they scooped in their finals.
Mm-hmm.
But they did very well playing Cauldron combo.
Yeah.
However, you know, I did better than them in that standard event because I couldn't draw. Like, it came up and I was just literally the bottom of all the X1s.
Uh-huh.
Much to my last round opponent, who was a very cool person. I'm very sorry about the unfortunateness of it. They were, like, in 11th place, and they were like, we can draw. And I was like,
no,
bud. No, bud, I can't draw. We have to play.
Yeah. Now, Chris, I played against them when they were playing at the last RCQ we played at. Last RCQ I played at. Yeah, they were very proficient in that Cauldron deck. Yeah.
They love that deck.
So, yeah, I was almost got him. I was one Tishana's Tidebinder away.
Right.
But aren't we always?
Standard format always. Of the feels life. Super
There's
sick.
Always one Tishana's Tidebinder away from greatness.
Yeah.
I mean, like, that deck's super sick. I ran into somebody playing full-on blue-white control.
Mm-hmm.
That was, like, very good. Like, they were using Ezreum as their win con.
Yeah.
And, like, they were playing, like, Deduce and Memory Deluge and Wandering Emperor. That deck seems sick.
I think Karlov Manor added enough at Standard that I would play it, but I'm only going to maybe play one more RCQ, so I'm really, like, I don't know if I'm going to play. Like, it just feels like it came out a little too late in the season for me to, like, want to actually get involved.
Oh, it's such a fun set.
Yeah.
But, like, I played against somebody who's playing, like, Niv-Mizzet Supreme Control.
Oh, cool.
They let them flash back Assassin's Trophy.
Oh, yeah.
And Lightning Helix.
Mm-hmm.
And No More Lies.
Yeah, that's the jumpstart one, right? All your creatures, all your cards get jumpstart?
All your two-color instants and sorceries have jumpstart.
Yeah.
And he has protection from mono-colored.
Yeah.
I could not kill him, and he's a 6/6. So that was a little scary.
I actually think he's smaller than the other one. I think he's only a 5/5. It's scary either way. It's scary either way.
Yeah.
But look it up. I was pretty confident.
I love my deck. I do think that like Walker was working on the Convoke deck all weekend.
Yeah.
And the deck is just a little too inconsistent for me to suggest that deck longer event.
Yeah, because I'm just thinking, like, if I get one more RCQ this season, right? I'm either playing Convoke or Mentor, I think.
Convoke is run hot dot deck. Like, you just, your hands are either unbeatable or you're mulliganing to 5.
Should I play that or should I play Mentor?
Convoke for sure.
Okay.
That's what the devil says. The angel on the other side of your shoulder says, think about how fun Mentor is going to be. Because you're going to be sit there frustrated at, like, oh, I just have to mulligan into oblivion. You know what I'm saying? Like, Mentor, you play the game. And if you put that effort in, right, unlike Ricky over here, who is just a hater, he never really believed, okay? And I'm over here casting No More Lies, rejecting the haterade that Ricky is putting on us. I say No More Lies. I say play the Mentor deck with a little No More Lies action. Stop the Ricky lies. It's truths only over here at Crew 3 Podcast.
I'm telling you right now that this mono red list I ran was the truth.
Yeah.
Jeremy from Houston definitely hooked me up with this deck. We went over the list. We talked about changes we could make and stuff. The only thing I wanted to change at the beginning is I wanted to run one more sweeper with running two Vampire's Vengeance and one End the Festivities. I wanted to run an extra End the Festivities. I stick by that. I wanted to cut the sideboard mountain. Jeremy told me I could not cut the sideboard mountain.
And were they correct?
Yes, I brought in the sideboard mountain every single match. Koth was really hot. The funniest thing that happened all weekend was Jeremy was trying to sell me on Jaya Fiery Negotiator.
Oh.
Unaware that I am the only person in the world.
Ricky was already bought in.
Who doesn't need to be told to play Jaya Fiery Negotiator.
Yeah.
I think my cut is like the Obliterating Bolts, the Warcraftings all were insane. I would cut the second Squee for the extra End the Festivities. When I go into this next weekend, like the squeeze, they're all right, but like they kind of, I don't know, they don't really, like they're really good specifically against temporary lockdown decks.
Sure.
But so is like Urbrass Forge, Koth, and Jaya, so.
Yeah, they don't spark joy.
Right, and flashing it back is a cast, and I got it like No More Lied once, and that felt really bad, and so I'm just gonna stick without it.
Sure.
And I would not play a second Sokinzan because there were a couple of times where Koth couldn't deal 4 damage because I had Mishra's Foundry or Sokinzan in play. Mm-hmm. So I think this land base is correct. But Koth is really, really better than he looks, mainly because you can like drop him on like turn 5 and just kill Shieldred and then still have a like card advantage threat that your opponent's going to have to deal with.
Sure.
But yeah, this deck is sick, and the entire cost of the deck is Bloodthirsty Adversary, because those cards are like close to $20 a copy.
Yeah.
But if you've got those, I say slam this deck at your local events.
Yeah, the more I think about it, the more I'm like, man, I want to get one more RCQ, but then I realize, no, I'll probably be packing, because we're moving like the weekend after Hunter Burton, so.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll see.
Qualify as Hunter Burton.
Ooh, no, we're playing Winning Pioneer.
Play the Big Baller Charity Friday 16-player PTQ.
Ooh, maybe. Maybe.
But all in all, the event run spectacularly.
Uh-huh.
Venue could have been better. But with what we were working with, they did well. There was a dead rat, and people blew that to cringe proportions. But if that's what you're there for, that's what you're there for, right?
Now, do you feel like you missed out on it not being part of actual DreamHack?
No.
Okay.
I
realize also I'm asking the wrong person this, because Chris and I get the full DreamHack experience while Ricky's just sitting in the grinder soup all weekend.
I love the grinder soup. Occasionally, I walk into DreamHack.
Ricky's the Campbells of grinder soup. You know what I'm saying?
What was nice.
Like, wholesome.
What was nice was being able to, when I needed to clear my head, when I needed to, like, have a moment, like, away from Magic for, like, just to recollect after, like, a hard loss or something, I could step outside into the snow in not that difficult of an attempt.
Just toss your head in.
And just go out there, freeze a little bit, and then turn around and come back in after breathing some fresh air, right? Touch some grass under the snow, and then come back in. And in DreamHack, you cannot escape. There's no quiet space.
You're in the back rooms of DreamHack.
Like, this is where, like, Ruckman and I don't need to escape. When we want to escape Magic, we go down, grab three sugar-free Red Bulls, three sugar-free monsters, slam them back, watch the fighting game tournaments, then go back ready for some more action. We hype ourselves up.
Stare at the flashing lights.
Stare at the flashing lights, exactly right. Watch the dancing Gandalf, you know what I'm saying? Like, join a rave for a few minutes. Who knows, you know?
I love the energy of DreamHack, but when I need a moment to, like, focus in, not tilt, and, like, recollect after a loss. And, like, the thing is, I normally bring my headphones, right? I play music. But at DreamHack, my headphones can't get loud enough. You know, JBL sponsor me. You're great headphones. But you can't beat out the DreamHack noise.
Hold on. We're not taking sponsorship by John Bradshaw Layfield.
I don't even know who that is.
Wow. That's a wrestler.
One of the longest reigning heavyweight champions of all time. And you don't know who that is, Ricky?
Nope.
For shame. I'm ashamed that you're my tag team champion partner right now. I just want you to know that.
Well, all in all, it was fun.
So hold on real quick. You mentioned something there, and it's subtle, but they have changed the electronics use policy so that now you can jam out the headphones if you want, just like you can't. Like, you can do that.
I don't listen to them during matches because I think that's very rude.
Okay, interesting. See, me too, because, like, it is a game of a lot of communication, but, like, poker does it, right?
I think that... You can, if your opponent is listening to headphones, right, in the middle of your match, you can call the judge, and while the judge won't exactly make them take out the headphones, they will make them, like, put their phone face up on the table with the media that they are playing visible, and, like, if any messages pop up on the phone, they can get in trouble, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, if you really want to be that person... go ahead, right? But most people, when, like, faced with that, would just be like, oh, all right, I'll just take my headphones out.
Yeah. All right, before we move on, I got one quick question for Ricky.
Sure.
Did we report deck box opponent to get one person out of the competition?
Did we what?
Did we report deck box opponent?
We did not report the deck box opponent. Oh, no. It was too fast. They were also not sitting in the right spot. Also, the funniest thing that happened.
Was it too furious, though?
Was deck box opponent, was it worse than the Grand Archive deck box?
Way worse.
No. Okay.
But I will say the players meeting, they posted some paper pairings for the players meeting, but the players meeting is in alphabetical order, and your deck list with your name on it and your name badge is at your seat, right?
Okay, so you just go find it.
You just go find it, right? That's what Carter says at the beginning. You know, use the alphabet, find your seat, and sit there, right? So I find my seat, and I sit there, and I'm waiting. Somebody else sits down, and they're the person of that space, right? I pick up my name badge, put it in my backpack, pick up my deck sheet that I'm going to have to hand to every opponent, put that in my backpack, wait on the players meeting, and then somebody comes over and is like, you're in my seat. And I was just like, I'm sorry, like, I don't know what you're reading, but you might want to go find a judge because that's wrong, because this is where my name badge was, right?
Yeah.
And they're just like,
and they said, I'm Ricky Lynn.
And they're like, you need to get out of my seat. That's my seat. And I was like, but do you have your deck list and your name badge? Because you need those to play, right? You don't need the name badge. You need the deck list to play, right? And they left, and then they came back with a judge. And the judge was like, okay, so I hear that somebody is sitting in a seat they're not supposed to be sitting in. And I was just like, hey, judge, my name badge was here, but if they would like the seat, I will just stand during the players meeting. I really don't care. And so like, I just stood up, the person just sat down. And then like, the judge was like, your name badge was there. And I was like, yep, here it is. I have my name badge, right? They're just like, other person, do you have a name badge and a deck list? No, I wasn't given mine yet, but this is where it told me to sit. And like, it was just the most baffling thing. I just couldn't comprehend it. I just walked away. Cause it was like, it's the players meeting and they're like mid players meeting. I can't hear them because I'm in this nonsense. So I just like walked off and just watched the players meeting standing up. I was like, it doesn't like, I don't have to be sitting here anymore. I have what I need.
Yeah.
If they really just want to sit in this chair, all you.
Ricky, that threw you off your game for that entire
month.
If that didn't happen,
yeah. I would have won. No.
That's right. Yeah.
There ain't no way I was winning that modern event.
Yeah. Well, Ricky, you had an eventful weekend. You know who else had an eventful weekend? Me. Because I had a just great emotional reaction to the film Wonka.
How did you find a theater still playing that awful movie?
Well, number one, it wasn't awful.
Pretty awful.
It's not awful. Now, I will say,
20-minute scene of milking a giraffe.
Look, the movie's not awful. I'm glad
they didn't cut that out.
It is still the second best Willy Wonka movie. Okay. As much as they want to non-wink that Timothy Chalamet, because Gene Wilder, Willy Wonka, that the worlds do not make. The worlds don't mix, right? The worlds don't mix. Unless he realized my chocolates are too powerful, I got to keep them in the factory. The worlds themselves don't cross over, right? But if we would just said, this is how he becomes Willy Wonka and he's not Gene Wilder, that's fine. I think I'm into it more, right? Chocolate Barons were great. What I wasn't prepared for were all the messages of my mom's dead. And she's going to be there for me when I fulfill my dreams. And I look at my wife. And I just go, F this movie.
Yeah.
This was Wreck-It Ralph 2. Wreck-It
Ralph 2.
All over again. I am the only person to have severe emotional reactions to both Wreck-It Ralph 2.
And Wonka. Well, that's unfortunate. But that was not a good movie. So.
It was okay. I enjoyed it.
Okay.
Except for all the dead mom talk, I was good.
Are you ready to go get your Dune bucket?
I'm so ready to get my Dune bucket.
Speaking of Timothy Chalamet.
Oh, man. It's going to stay in the wrapper, though. Got to make it clear on how to use it.
Maybe add a little butter.
Oh, no. I like them showing because they're doing the press junket for Dune 2 right now, right?
Yeah.
And they showed Zendaya the bucket. She's just like, no. She's like, that's not even a good popcorn bucket. Because, like, how do you get your hand out of it with the popcorn? Like, it's going to knock all the popcorn out of your hand.
Josh Brolin is also against the popcorn bucket.
Everyone should be against the popcorn bucket.
Patrick Chapin loves that popcorn bucket.
I will say, Kung Fu Panda 2 has a Chinese takeout popcorn bucket at Cinemark. It's pretty cute.
Four?
Yeah, Kung Fu Panda 4, not 2.
Five. Yeah. How many Kung Fu Pandas are there?
There's only one Kung Fu Panda, though, right? No, because in is it three when he finds his family and teaches all the other pandas how to do Kung Fu?
Of course, Ruckman would know the Kung Fu Panda lore.
Yeah, that's right. All right, people waited long enough. It's 40 minutes in. Let's talk about Pioneer Vets real quick.
Let's talk about them.
Right, starting off with the Friday Challenge in 8th place, we have Martin Dominguez on Rakdos Sacrifice. In 7th place, we have Kazuka on Rakdos Sacrifice. 6th place, we have Bolivo Zero on Azorius Control. 5th place, we have S-Man 2.0 on Gruul Aggro. In 4th place, we have Anonymous on Is It Phoenix. 3rd place, we have Lavunga 21 on Is It Indomitable Creativity. In 2nd place, we have Kanepa 16 on Niv to Light. And then 1st place, we have Victor Cavallo 01 on Is It Phoenix. Now, I will say before we start diving into these deck lists, I think there are kind of three big stories out of this week. And that is Blue Eye Control, Creativity, and Niv to Light. So those are the decks we kind of focus on here as we're going forward. Because Niv to Light, not only did they get No More Lies, they also got Lightning Helix. So it seems like those two new includes are enough to bring Niv to Light back pretty heavily.
Into the light, exactly, right?
If you look at third place here, Chris, why don't you talk to us about this third place creativity deck list and what we're seeing new here.
Oh, I would I would love to. Is this the X-File list?
This is Lavunga 21.
Okay, I might talk about the X-File list because this is the one I found, and I'm pretty sure it's the same one.
Sure.
This the big new list. Card here is Deduce. That's the hotness here. So X-File is a player that we've seen before, and I pulled up this list because this was one of the top lists of one of the challenges that I found before. So right now, what we're doing.
We're talking about the actual event right now. Can you go to the one on the Friday one for us just real quick?
Sure. I can talk about it.
Scroll up and find it. Yeah, why don't you talk about it then?
So we got a lot of really interesting one-ofs in this deck. We're playing one of Sublime Epiphany, which is kind of wild, but more importantly, Intrude on the Mind, which is a Factor Thopter. Basically a Factor Fiction, but you get a Thopter for the pile you didn't pick. We're also on Stern Lesson, which is just a Power Stone token with more draw engine. And of course, Deduce, which has been called a lot of things. Mainly what I've been hearing it called is Think Twice.
Yeah.
But also it leaves like the clue around. So if you need it for the creativity, you can have it. Only two Fable and the Mirror Breaker in this list, which is kind of wild too, in my opinion.
Sure.
One Thundering Falls. This cycle of lands has spiked over the weekend because of how insane they are in exactly modern and in no other format.
Yeah.
But like you'll probably see one ofs every now and then just because it can generate some value. They're just sort of a really interesting design. I kind of like how they made a card that goes to modern that isn't too powerful. Also in the sideboard, Galvanize from the new set, which is, of course, 2 mana for 3 damage to a creature. But if we've drawn 2 or more cards this turn, it deals 5 damage instead. This is a card I've been thinking about for Phoenix against Shieldred. It does mean you have to take extra Shieldred damage.
We take 4 damage.
But not if we like, they play Shieldred and we opt in response, and then we can Galvanize immediately. So this is a card I'm looking to maybe look into testing in Phoenix, but it seems pretty sick here.
Yeah, for sure. And then, of course, like we said, Blood Control picking up No More Lies, another big one. So clearly No More Lies was definitely the big card to talk about coming out of Karlov Manor.
Wow, I wonder who would have predicted that.
Well, you know, Delny's more exciting still.
Yeah, but it's not gonna get.
Yeah, it's not a good draw though, Ricky.
I don't wanna draw. I wanna win.
Yeah. Another deck list I want to talk about here is Island Ghost Sammy in 11th place on Boros Burn, making use of Lightning Helix here. So we got 4 Monastery Swiftspear, 4 Soulscar Mage, 1 Zergo, 4 Isle of the Great Herbal, 4 Play with Fire, 1 Wild Slash, 4 Boros Charm, 4 Lightning Helix. 2 Lightning Strike, 4 Light the Stage, 4 Skewer, 4 Kumana Faces Coxon. Of course, friend of the show, Birdcore, did also top 8 the Pioneer event at the Canadian Pro Tour, the Canadian RC this weekend, and on the Boros Burn list. And then, of course, also friend of the show, Carnage Cards, also top eight of that event on Niv to Light with Normalize and Lightning Helix. So Lightning Helix, you know, I don't think people overhyped it, but I thought Lightning Helix was still going to be a solid include in the format.
We got a sick Orzhov Humans deck at like
12. Yeah, the Orzhov Humans list.
We're playing
main deck. I'm not going to lose to Amalia.
And main deck, I'm not going to lose to Phoenix with Jirana.
It also beats Amalia.
These are great hate pieces that just go in like engine.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Okay, so that's it for this challenge. Moving on to the next challenge. Eighth place, we have Fried Liver Attack on Azorius Control. Then we have RF231 on Orzhov Humans once again. This time, though, we're playing Kitesail Freebooter and Jirana in our main board instead. Sixth place, we have Jabberwocky. Jabberwocky dropping Rakdos Sacrifice to pick up No More Lies Control here. Also playing Hollowed Moonlight because, again, we got to beat those filthy Amalia players.
Amalia.
I just think I might write an article.
I mean, it's working, right?
Yeah.
Amalia is kind of falling off a little bit.
No, I want to write a piece on just how, you know, even though it's not winning, Amalia is still like the key deck in this format because everything is just built around it at this point.
Right.
In fifth place, you have Victor Carvalho again on Is It Phoenix. Fourth place, you have Gabriel Fear on five color mid range. This is our Omnath to Light variant. Nothing new doing here. In third place, we have Max Attack on Is It In Soul? And then in second place, we have Duke 12 again on Creativity. And then OJ Lakos winning once again with Is It Phoenix?
I have a weird question.
Yeah, what's up?
Does Picklock Prankster break Gigantha? Lists of Phoenix that are just playing Shredder and Phoenix, no Picklock Prankster, and they're playing Gigantha. And so my question is, does Picklock Prankster technically have double pips in its cost?
Because it's four.
Can you play Stomp Giant in Gigantha decks?
I'm trying to think, actually. I don't think I've ever thought about that.
Weird.
Yeah. But I'll save that for people who are still judges, not me.
Right. I was just wondering because, like, well, I had never thought to play Gigantha personally, but I thought it was kind of interesting.
Yeah. Let me look.
Judge ruling while I talk about how.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Prismari Command has been, like, taken over in Phoenix.
Yeah. I mean, so split cards don't work. But yeah, go ahead.
I just noticed that almost every Phoenix player is now playing like one to two copies of Prismari Command.
Hmm.
I mean, I don't think it's a bad card, right? The idea is like it costs one more than Is It Charm, but you get another mode with your draw two cards, discard two cards, right? So destroying target artifact, so you can kind of play this like as a braid that also loots you, or just being able to kill something. And then worst case scenario, it gives you a treasure. Right?
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense.
And some lists are playing like Torch the Tower, so you can sack the treasure for Torch the Tower, or just set up for like a bigger turn later. I kind of like it. I need to pick up some. And of course, we're like all in on Anger of the Gods now in Phoenix because Amalia.
Because Amalia.
The question is, will Amalia go away? People forget about it, and we have a new dredge in the format, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, like look at the top decks here. We got Azorius Control at 8 decks from this challenge. Creativity is 6. Niv to Light is 6. Grawl Aggro 5. Burn 5. Insult Artifact 5. And then like Phoenix is way down, only 4 decks. Amalia even below that. Kind of wild.
In every zone except the stack and while on the stack, as not as an adventure. An adventure card only has its own characteristics. I think you're fine. I think you can still do it. Yeah.
I was just wondering because the lists that run Gigantha don't play Picklock Prankster, so I was wondering.
I could still be wrong, but right. Either way, there's only one way to find out, and that's to open up Arena and just try.
Yeah, open up Arena and try it.
Yeah.
Like Victor Carvalho here has been playing Gigantha Companion.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see no picklock pranksters.
Sure.
But they're also playing Otherworldly Gaze. So good work. Good job. You're truly a Phoenix Master. But I don't grant you the rank of Master because you're playing Otherworldly Gaze.
No, no, no. Keep playing. Keep running it.
It makes me mad every time.
All right, moving on to our next challenge. We have in eighth place, iHuman as our lone Amalia Amalia player. Still out
there. Yeah.
Playing Delny. I'm not a fan of Delny in the...
Why not?
It just...
It is really... Convergence dies and you get two tokens.
Sure. I mean, like, I don't know. It just doesn't do enough. Twice the life,
Kellum is going to double trigger. Amalia double triggers, all your life gain guys double trigger. And we have the Nombo. We have the Nombo of Skyclave Apparition Denly.
Yeah. Skyclave Denly is so funny. If you're looking for Denly content, I'm recording a video that should be out later this week of me playing Denly lists. I've updated the Denly list from what we talked about on last week's show. So be sure to check that out.
But Denly into the Sin Collector is hot.
Denly into Sin Collector is hot. That so. Is.
You know, that I'm just saying. Yeah.
All right. Seventh place, Savvy 15 on In Soul. Sixth place, Boy Triton on Is It Phoenix? Fifth place, Vampire X on Azorius Control. Fourth place, Tia 93 on Is It Phoenix? Third place, Soulstrong on Azorius Control. Also playing a one of deduce here. In second place, we have Kai's on Azorius Control. And fifth place, first place, Daniel Akos on Is It Phoenix? Back to back.
We got to talk about some cards that we've missed from the new set. Gleaming Geardrake. Who had this one on their list?
In which deck list?
Is It In Soul Artifact is playing four Gleaming Geardrake.
Oh, we talked about it during spoiler season, but I don't think it made our lists.
Blue-red for a artifact creature Drake. You would not know that if you own the Dossier version, because those look awful.
The Dossiers aren't great, which is such a shame because like the legendary frame for Ravnica is so good.
Right. This is a 1/1 flyer for two. When it enters the battlefield, we investigate. So it's two artifacts for two mana. Whenever we sacrifice an artifact, we get to put a 1/1 counter on Gleaming Geardrake.
Okay.
I think it's great. This is like exactly what we needed. We needed like one more like body that makes an artifact that we can throw away.
Sure.
I think this deck is like super well positioned right now just because like it gets to fully utilize for Torch the Tower.
Mm-hmm.
Which once again is very good against a lot of decks, but also very good against Amalia and Phoenix.
We're also playing Case of the Filched Falcon, which I was told wasn't good enough because we have Blackstaff.
I still think that's true.
Oh.
But it does make the artifact fly.
Uh-huh.
And it does make us a artifact when we play it that we are okay with sacrificing.
So yeah.
I can see why we're playing it.
Thank you. That's what I wanted to hear, Ricky.
Can we talk about how prevalent Rampaging Ferocidon is in every sideboard now? You gotta rampage those Ferocidons.
Yeah, I think... has Amalia caused the rise in Rampaging Ferocidon value?
I own foils, and my life has never been better.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we're now entering...
Like, they're like $10 now?
We're now entering the Azorius Control meta some people were afraid of happening.
Yeah, I was. I was very afraid. I was only afraid of it because now I have to buy Azorius Control for the 10th time before I sell it again.
Chris fans will notice that it does play Rewind. So, you know, when you got to fill out an 80-card deck, sometimes you scrape the bottom.
Yeah.
And you pick up a Rewind.
All five of you know that the Rewind was being played. Yeah.
There are dozens of us.
I'm glad you paused your Tendy break to come talk about Rewind.
Tendy break was a long time ago. I was recovering from my creativity list.
Okay.
The Ori list was kind of wild. But also, I'd like to see the Kitsui's Flanker, seeing some play and control.
Yeah.
It's a cat, so we'll get lifelink
from Kihira.
You go Cackle.
Oh, from Caracal.
We're not playing Kihira, we're playing Yorion.
Oh.
Yes.
What a lame companion.
Yes, agreed, but also not legal in Modern, because Modern players have small hands. They can't shuffle the big deck. That's actually kind of why they banned it, but kind of a sick event. Like, this is such a... What a blue format we have entered.
Yeah, I was talking with Chris, and we were talking to, like, maybe it's time to bring back the spirits, but honestly, I might just leave it up for Aksak.
Or we could play even wilder things, like Jund Sack with Insidious Roots.
True. But really, though, I gotta dust off these Fire Shoes Wildgrowth Walkers.
That's true, that's true.
Yeah.
Let's go to our last event here.
Let's move to this Showcase qualifier. All right, in the Showcase qualifier, this is the big one here. Eighth place, we have John Rapp on Mono Black Midrange. Seventh place, we have Max Tech on Is It In Soul. Sixth place, we have Elf Kid on Boros Convoke. Maybe, just maybe, Aggro's not dead. In fifth place, we have Darg 24 on Is It Phoenix. Fourth place, Mental Misstep on Azorius Control. Third place, Harry 13 on Niv to Light. Second place, Coco 7721 on Azorius Control. And first place, Is It Phoenix? Hold on a second here. Is that a four-way Is It Phoenix victory? Does that mean?
Look, it's a fine deck. It rewards skilled play. Knowledge of the format. And personally, I think it's got a decent control matchup. And control players will tell you that's not true. But as we all know, every control player keeps two tanks of copium under their desk for just such a time where somebody on the internet says control's not good.
Yeah. It's me. I'm the one saying it all the time.
Right. Well, it is good now, but it's not that good. Let's calm down, right?
Yeah. And to be clear, Azorius Lotus Field has never been good.
Also, when you play control, you have two opponents. You have your opponent and the match round timer, the ultimate opponent.
I thought you were going to say your opponent and the shuffler because you're a Yorian pile.
I going to say your opponent and the wolves inside of you, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Your opponent and all of the people who are angrily waiting for your match to finish.
So, Ricky, I mean, you've been an Amalia convert, but are Phoenix going to be flying free at the Hunter Burton?
I'm not going to pretend that I haven't ordered foil Old Border Anger of the Gods and foil Old Border Crackling Drakes and foil Prismari Commands in this past couple of weeks. I'm not going to hide the fact that I not only have four Secret Lair foil Phoenixes, but also four Old Border foil Phoenixes. But, you know, maybe. There might be some signs.
Yeah? Okay. All right. We'll see. I have no idea. I might play Amalia. I don't know when to play for the Hunter Bird. We still got a month out. We're a month out. I still got time.
Right.
Still got time. All right. I mean, there's one more deck I did want to talk about. This is for the people at home. This is by Diablo XSC over from one of the leagues at the 5-0 League Dump, playing a sick little black-green sack list here. With our Gigantic Companion, 3 College Familiar, 3 Gilded Goose, 3 Stitch Supplier, 4 Lawless Troll, 4 Priest of Forgotten Gods, 4 Scrap Heap Scrounger, 2 Oval Chase Daredevil, 4 Tyvar Jubilant Brawler, 4 Witch's Oven, 2 Agatha's Cauldron, 4 Insidious Roots, and 2 Chalk Outlines. We're going infinite, baby.
This deck is good because it's an Insidious Roots deck.
Uh-huh.
And the Chalk Outline is just there in case it happens. I'm just going to reveal now. That is why this deck is good.
Okay.
This deck is good because Insidious Roots and Cauldron Familiar is insane.
Uh-huh.
And if you have like a lot with Troll Daredevil on the side, you know?
Sure.
Then do your thing, right? But that's why this deck is good.
Okay.
Not because of Chalk Outline.
I actually agree. The roots are pretty nuts, and as fun as I think the Chalk Outline combo is, like Ricky said, it's the fries to the burger that is Insidious Roots. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, you want them there, but if they're not there, you still got your main entree. You know, you're still happy with it, and that, again, like, that's just such an easy, like, you want to be doing your sack stuff anyway, right? and Insidious Roots, one or even two of them, should you be so lucky, just takes over the game so fast. Like, but hey, if you get there, if you get to cast that shock out line, that's a pretty cool way to stunt on people, you know?
If you have Insidious Roots in play and then activate Scrap Heap Scrounger, like, you make a 2-3 and a 1-2 and a 3-2 for two mana. Right? Like,
that sounds like value to me, Ricky.
And then if we sack this Scrap Heap Scrounger to make our opponent, I don't know, sacrifice a creature, lose two life, and give us two mana, then we can use that two mana to buy back the Scrap Heap Scrounger and get two more plants and summon a larger and larger man, which is what that's what it's all about, you know?
Yeah, we might be talking later about some Jund sack action with Insidious Roots.
Like, I'm just saying that, like, what makes the cat oven combo good is Mayhem Devil, right?
Yeah.
Insidious Roots is a faster clock than Mayhem Devil.
Which is wild to think about.
Because it grows exponentially, and Mayhem Devil just does one damage. You can ping down creatures, but Insidious Roots kills opponents dead.
Sure.
And lets us tap for mana. I also feel like this is the deck where you will activate the second ability of Gilded Goose more than, like, any other deck, or the first ability.
Yeah, usually Gilded Goose is there for a one-turn mana orc.
Also, double Takanuma. Can we eat our own guys with Hive of the Eye Tyrant?
It is...
No, defending player.
Yeah.
Darn.
Oh, man. Is Garora Plants mid-combat?
Yeah.
What you need to be asking is there a way to make the Hive of the Eye Tyrant attack ourselves? You know?
Right.
Mm. From the podcast that brought to you Thought Seizing Yourself, we now bring you
attacking yourself
with the Hive of the Eye Tyrant. Hey, do you guys remember a janky modern deck where you used to morph a chroma and then blink it?
No.
So let me tell you something. If you've got a face down permanent and then you blink that permanent, it comes back into play face up.
Sure.
Assuming that it is a permanent spell and not obviously like, you know, a whatever. It's like if you manifest or, I don't know, cloak something, there's some cute stuff you can do there. I was talking with Ruckman before, as Ruckman mentioned, I think it's time for the spirits to rise up. Like, I don't know what all these stupid combo decks are doing. We could just be playing blue counter spells and go under some of the control decks. Again, I think you're maybe afraid of Phoenix, but that's what Cryptic Code is for. You know, you don't have to get cute with the Cryptic Code to make it good. That card's just a good card. That card also brought to you by a Crew 3 podcast. We called it out here saying, not Ricky. Ricky hated the card. He said it was terrible and he wanted it to, he said he couldn't read good. He didn't know how to tie his shoes. But
it's true.
Chris and Ruck, especially Chris, said, hey, this card could be worth looking at here, you know? And it turns out Cryptic Code could be the truth, could be the sleeper card from the set coming at you. And I think that card's going to see some Pioneer play. So
it's like $10 now.
It's like what?
$10 now.
Oh, I saw five like an hour ago.
Did you
start TCG Player affiliate link, Ricky?
No, I was at the Wild West where
the card prices have no meaning.
Leyline of the Guild Pact hit $28.
Right.
And Cryptic Coat, I was told that if they had any left, they would be $9.
Nice.
But I managed to slide like a foil Meticulous Archive and a foil Thundering Falls for like $2 each at the very beginning of the day.
Oh.
And then I saw somebody literally just run from booth to booth and go, I want to buy every non-foil Surveil land you have at $3 each. And get like at least like 20 or so of each one. Anyways.
Pretty baller.
Yeah.
Nothing that will ever beat DreamHack 1 and the $50 Ledger Shredder.
The $50 Ledger Shredder. I will say, also, I know we're affiliated from TCG Player, right? Use our link, right?
Yeah.
I've been going around to these RCs and these DreamHacks, right?
Uh-huh.
And there's some pretty good vendors out there.
When the vendors know how to support the format at the event.
I'm going to say Card Monster, great vendor, right?
Uh-huh.
Toa, honestly, they don't have a lot of stuff out for sale, but they have the best buy prices, right?
Sure.
Great. The other vendors there, not great. I'm just going to say it. They were not fantastic vendors. And also in Atlanta, we're missing a lot of like some of my favorite vendors. I mean, of course, we're not going to see Starsky Games there, but like now they will be, right?
Yeah.
And like 96 Magic, like Hot Deals, like the Laughing Dragon booth was okay, but they were a little rude, but you know.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just saying, like, we need better vendors at these events. And I think that DreamHack kind of signed like six people and six people only to do the DreamHack shows. And I'm sick of some of the people that I see at these vendors. I'm just like, why are you here?
Well, you got one more and that's it.
Yeah, in Dallas. Hopefully they invite – normally they have like a lot more people in Dallas than any other place, you know?
Yeah, true. I think it's just like, there's it's pretty central. There's a lot of vendors nearby.
Like I miss like, you know, I mean, Tales of Adventure used to always buy a booth and like there was like a bunch of vendors that I used to know a lot. Like and I think we saw a lot at like the Hunter Burton and stuff too. Like,
oh yeah, there's like seven or eight vendors at the Hunter Burton.
Yeah. Anyways, there was nothing like as wild as like people getting mad, like the vendors getting mad because people kept asking for like 50 cent cards because it was a Pioneer event and they didn't bring Pioneer cards.
We brought modern cards so people buy.
And like Card Monster did have every single card from MKM there. And they priced them fair for the event. Like if you needed an MKM card for your modern deck or your standard deck, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'd much rather see it for like a couple bucks more than I should, right?
Sure.
Than not be there. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody knows like it's not like gouging. It's just like you're going to pay a little bit of a speculative price for buying at the vendor for the new cards, you know?
Yeah, of course.
And maybe you'll get an underspeculated card, you know? I almost bought like 20 Sharp-Eyed Rookies for $1 each because that card might be better than it looks. But
that's,
then I realized
that's thick, keeping a sharp eye out, Ricky.
Then I realized that I think the number one supporter of that card was Doomwake, and I thought I'd let it sit for a week and see if they were right.
All right. So I mean, what do you guys think? Who's their biggest winner this week? No More Lies? Was it Deduce? What do you think?
It's No More Lies. I told you.
Uh-huh.
I was right the whole time.
Well, you know, it's our number two card for a reason.
Just like I wrote it up, you know?
Yeah.
Just like Joe Biden knew.
Okay, Dark Brandon.
That the Chiefs were going to win in overtime.
Look, I mean, we all knew what was going to happen, right? I didn't think the script was that close. That was a real nail biter of a script they wrote.
That was such a funny tweet. Whoever was in charge of that tweet needs a raise.
Yeah. All right. Let's wrap things up then. Of course, you're a sponsor of our Patreon, patreon.com/crew3mtg. We have several great tiers available. And if you are a patron, make sure you go read the FDI post. I want to know, hey, we're pumping out more content starting soon. So I want to know what kind of videos you guys want to see. All that kind of good stuff. So be sure to go weigh in on that. Let us know as we get ready to start making more content. I'm going to start doing things like I'm going to start making polls for weekly topics on the Patreon for podcasters. So I'm going to start probably not this week, but next week's show. I'm going to start trying to do a every Monday. I'm going to try to post a poll. It'll be let people vote for what they want to see on the podcast as our kind of talking point discussion. Give us some options available. So be sure to go check out that post, weigh in. And then, you know, like I said, we had several topics available, several great tiers available. Of course, every tier does get access to exclusive Patreon channels, and such as the Patreon mailbag, where you can ask a question that sounds something like this. This question comes from Thane of Rats, who asks, what is the card you are personally most excited for in Pioneer? Do you think there's any this is about MKM. So what is the card you're most personally excited for in Pioneer? Do you think there's any underdog cards for this set that you feel we'll see little play in the front, but feel that it could one day? So I guess, are there any underdog cards you thought in MKM, or what are the cards you're most excited about during spoiler season to kind of play?
I mean the Quake Mole.
Quake Mole?
It feels wrong calling that an underdog card.
But it's an 8-4 for 4.
When it's an 8-4 for 4, but like, I don't know. That card, it hasn't shown up yet, and I want it to, and I might have to make it happen, right? You know, if you want something done, do it yourself, right? That card kind of exciting to me. Also, intrude upon the mind.
Which was that? To see
a little bit of it. It's the Factor Fiction.
Oh.
The pile that goes to the yard, you make a thopter that is that big.
Okay.
So.
Great for creativity-ing off, potentially, you know?
Right. Also, I just want to build the 5-0 pile to send my phoenixes into the yard.
Yeah. All right, Chris, what you got? Oh, sorry.
Opponent picks the pile, right? You split, yes. And opponent picks the pile?
Yeah. So you can either get all 5 cards, or you can get 0 cards and make a 5/5 instant speed flyer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a ballsy pile. What opponent probably just goes, wait a minute, you know? Like, that's the good one is like, well, you know, what are you going to do with these 5 cards?
What if I show you, like, 2 removal spells, double phoenix, like, land? And I'm just like, yeah, here's my 5, and here's my 0.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What do you do, right?
Well, opponent, those in my hand, right,
opponent yeah. didn't read the new overtime rules, and they weren't prepared for the situation.
Right. That one's a good one. Right? I like that one a lot. Probably the cards we've been talking about. Again, I think, like, particularly right now with all the Phoenix running around, Cryptic Coat intrigues me because of the Ward 2 ability on the Cloak, right? I think the Cloak gets Ward 2, right? Like, it's the new morph card.
The Cloak has Ward 2. Not the Cloak, but the guy.
The guy wearing the Cloak, right, yeah.
The morph guy. So, like, that's a card that I'm excited about, particularly in this metagame. Also excited about, again, some of the stronger cards before. Like, I think Insidious Roots has like a lot of potential. Like, there's a lot of graveyard cards that have me particularly interested because we already get to do so much interesting stuff when it comes to like Delve. Ricky said, where it's just like, hey, the 5 mana Factor Fiction. The problem is it's 5 mana. But, you know, if you have any reduction, if you have any ramp, if you have any things like that, like that card coming out is incredibly strong, right? We see so much graveyard interaction kind of rolling around that it's interesting. You know, it makes me wonder when that bubble's going to burst, right? Like, when do we get these Delve spells banned with how many cards we're able to kind of flip into our yard? So, again, right now, I think in this particular metagame, the Cloak. Also, Cloak can be recommissioned, and then the ability is an enter the battle's field ability. So, if you want, because again, I really think that, No More Lies is obviously an incredibly strong card. So, like, I want to do, like, a tempo strategy, you know? And that's kind of where I see some things happening is like, again, we're not there yet, but that's definitely a style that I think is pretty interesting where it's like, oh, wait, we can recommission Mentor or a cloak, you know, like you may not be able to recommission or get back a Hottie Djinn in Pioneer that may or may not be good enough. Right. But the Cloak's got a little ward action on it. So like maybe there's some tempo potential there where it's like, hey, I want to be flipping a lot of cards to my yard, but I also want to be getting those back for cheap with prowess abilities by playing a lot of spells. So I don't know. There's a lot of things rolling around in my head right now that hopefully the listeners get to see in the upcoming weeks here.
Yeah. I'm all in on Delany, baby. It's all the magic I've been playing lately. Just playing Delany piles, work on Delany piles. Look, I'm not going to say they're going to take over the format, right? But they have literally been some of the most fun I've had playing Magic in a while. Just flipping things, doing dumb things, getting extra triggers. I'm playing one of Fibblethip right now, and I'm still trying to hit that draw 4. Haven't gotten it yet. We haven't hit the lotto yet, but it's going to happen one of these days. I'll talk about it more in our video, but I've switched the cards around, and we're now playing Militia Bugler in the list. That has been a really good change. One of the next things the deck was suffering from was just like a lot of Coco decks were, where there was no real card advantage outside of Coco, so we're really stuck in our draws. So having Militia Bugler just to keep us going, even without a Delany, has been a great change to the deck list. I'm trying to see if the mana base can support Kayla's Reconstruction, because that also might be another good include for the deck list. Just a couple, maybe not the full 4, but a couple copies of that just to give us extra, like, extra pushes, right? I'm still haven't decided on whether or not 1-mana elves are the way to go yet, but we'll see by the time the video goes out, I record it. But I'm just having a lot of fun playing Delany piles, so I expect a video of me jamming it in Explorer here later this week, early next week. Just keep an eye out for that. So yeah, and of course that will be available early for a day or two for the patrons. So if you want to see that video early when it goes up, be sure to join the Patreon and you'll see it there first. Of course, you know, if you can't support us directly on Patreon, again, that's patreon.com/crew3mtg. You can support us by buying the cards you're already going to buy by going to crew3mtg.com, which will apply our TCG player affiliate code. And any cards you buy there, we will get a small kickback to DG Player as a thank you for helping show you the way over to their website. So be sure to use that crew3mtg.com for your TCG Player orders. And again, thank you, Star Wars Player Patreon, patreon.com/crew3mtg. Gentlemen, where can they find you on the socials?
Hey, you can find me on the tweeters at @its_Christmas and Christmas has no T.
You can find me on Twitter at also Steve. And you can find me streaming weekly on the Twitch at twitch.tv/crew3mtg.
Cool. And of course, like I said, we're going to start putting more stuff out on YouTube here in the next week or so. So be sure to check that out, youtube.com/crew3mtg. I'm also going to start trying to stream at least every other weekend over on our twitch.tv/crew3mtg along with Ricky. And then, of course, you can find me at crew3podcast on Twitter. Posted a lot of right now we're firmly in painting mode of hobby season because I've got a lot of gray plastic to paint gold here. And also because I'm on Lego pause at the moment as I'm getting ready to move. So unfortunately, I can't build any Lego right now. So yes, be sure to check out that for all sorts of magic cards I'm buying. So I'm buying some really fun cardboard using that TCG Player affiliate link to make my Delmi deck list look super cool. So be sure to check all that kind of stuff out. We will talk to you all next week. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.